And well, let's take our Bibles, open to the book of Hosea, Hosea chapter 3. And while you're turning there, let me just say thank you for those who've been praying for my mom. She had a little scare yesterday, but she's doing better today. And so I appreciate all of those who have been praying for her and texting, letting them know. That has been very appreciated. My dad wanted me to make sure that he lets you know that he appreciates all of the text messages and the prayers and things. And so she's gonna rest for a couple days. So hi, Mom. I think she's watching tonight. She said she was going to be watching tonight, right? And so, all right, Hosea chapter 3. Hosea chapter 3. It's a very short chapter, only 5 verses. So tonight we're going to do an entire chapter. That's a lot, right? An entire chapter in one night. He says, "Then said the Lord unto me, Go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for an omer of barley and an half omer of barley. And I said unto her, Thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. And thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim. And afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God, and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days." I'm going to be very honest with you tonight. This is a very emotional chapter. Just in preparing for the message, just seeing the love that God has for Israel, but then even thinking about the same love that God has for me. I do not think that I will be able to make it through this message without crying, tearing up, because of how raw the emotions are in this passage. I want you to notice verse number 1. "Then said the Lord unto me, Go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine." Think about this. God tells Hosea to take Gomer back. Gomer has committed adultery. Gomer has gone after other people in this sensual, sexual lifestyle that she has chosen to live. And yet God says, go yet, love her. Go yet, go again. Even though she has committed adultery, even though she has broken the marriage vow that she and Hosea made, God tells him to love a woman. Now again, if you missed last week's, this you're going to miss this, because the word there when he says, go yet love a woman, the word woman there is the word isha. And we looked at this a little bit last week in chapter 2, where he talks about in verse number 16 that thou shalt call me ish, and thou shalt no more call me Baal. And the word ish and the word isha are the words that you go all the way back to the book of Genesis in chapter 3, where God, or Genesis chapter 1 and 2, where God says that he has made them male and female. And the Bible says that God took of the rib of Adam and made woman. And the Bible says that Adam called her woman, which is the name isha. And the word man comes from that word woman, isha, which is ish. And so as God is saying, as Adam is saying, this is now this isha, this is my woman, or in the context, this is my wife. And this is exactly what the word that he's using here when he says, go yet, love not just a woman, but go love the isha, Go love this one that is yours. Go love your wife. Go love her, even after all that she has done. And here's what's really fascinating. And this, I really believe this helps us to understand what the Bible speaks about love. The world has no idea what love is. The world thinks that love is simply, you know, some warm feeling that you get in your heart. You know, that person is attractive or whatever, and so I love that person. That's not what love is. Because think about what God is telling Hosea here. I want you to go and love her. Love this woman that has been an adulterous woman. Love this woman that is just in a vile, wicked state. And I want you to love her. That there's no warm emotional feeling in this. Why? Because love is not an emotion. Love is a choice. People say, I can't love that person. Why? Because you're basing your definition of love on an emotion. When love is a choice. Love is not, well, you know, if they do something good to me, then I will love them in return. That's not love. That's why God says to Hosea, love her. You go and love her again. You love her, even though she does not deserve to be loved. Go again. Go yet and love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress. Through this passage, we're able to see through our own eyes just how much God loves Israel. To love the unlovable. To see that the love that God has for Israel, for we would all say that Hosea has every right to leave Gomer. He has every right to leave her, to put her away, to divorce her, whatever you want to call it. He has every right to say, you know what? I am done with this. I'm finished. After all that she has done to him, the pain that she has caused him, and her children. Remember, it wasn't just one man she's been with. It's not just one man. Go back with me to chapter 2. Look in verse number 5. For the mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my, what is that next word? Lovers. Not singular. Plural. Look in verse number 7. And she shall follow after her lovers. Verse number 10. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers. In verse number 12. And I will destroy her vines and her fig tree. Wherefore she hath said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me. In verse number 13. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam wherein she burned incense to them. And she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels. And she went after her lovers. This is a very emotional chapter here. And please understand, I want to be very delicate with this because I know there are people that maybe have gone through something like this. And so please understand, I'm not trying to be crude about this. I just want us to see in exactly what God is saying here. And I know that the hurt that people have gone through. I've sat and counseled people with tears streaming down their face because of the hurt and the pain that things like this have caused. It's a very raw, emotional chapter. Because this is not just one man that she has been with. There are multiple men that she has been with, sleeping with. And even through all of this, through this adulterousness, God says to Hosea, love her. Let me tell you something, folks. That's not easy. That's not easy. That's not something that we can even do in our own physical strength. Because we look at love as that emotion. We look at love as the feeling. And because I don't feel like they have treated me well, I don't feel like they have done me right, therefore I cannot love them. But let's really think what Gomer has done. I don't have to paint pictures in your mind because they're already there. Those pictures are already there of how cruel this woman was to her husband, to her children. And how devastated he was when he finds out what she is doing. And even through the childbearing that she has. And God says, love her again. Love her again. But God, I took care of her. I took care of her, even knowing what she was doing. I was the one that took care of her. Don't you remember back in chapter 2? He says, I was the one that brought her the corn. I was the one that did all of these things. Back in verse number 8, for she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold. God, don't you understand? I've already shown her love. I've already shown her my care. Even in all of this debauchery that she was in, I was the one that followed her. I was the one that took care of her, even though she chose to live this wicked lifestyle. The lovers didn't care for her. She thought it was the lovers providing these things when it was him. I took my corn and gave for her. I took my oil. I took my silver. I took my gold. And Lord, look how she's used it. Look what she has done with it. And you're telling me to go and love her again? Oh, it would have been very easy for Hosea to just say, I am done. I'm done. I cannot love her. After what she has done. Can you see the raw emotion going on in Hosea's heart? Can you imagine what he must be thinking when God says, Hosea, I want you to go and love her again? God, are you serious? God, you're joking, right? Are you really asking me to do this? And yet God says to him, love her. But here's what's absolutely amazing about this. He doesn't just say, love her. Notice, what does he say? He says, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress. And watch how God tells Hosea to love her. According to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel. God says, Hosea, I want you to love her the way that I love Israel. Again, this whole picture that we're finding in Hosea, with Hosea and Gomer, is simply a picture of God and his love toward Israel. Think about it. This, yes, we understand that whatever's going on between Gomer and Hosea is going on for several years now. I mean, you've had 3 children that have been born throughout this time period. But think about all that has been going on between God and Israel, not just for several years, but for hundreds of years. For hundreds of years, God is the one saying, I provided for you. For hundreds of years, God is the one that's saying, I was there to protect you. For hundreds of years, God says, I delivered you. And yet you still went into your adulterous way. And he says, I want you to love her according to the love that I have for Israel. Can I tell you, friends, I am glad that God does not love me the way that we love others. That even though, and this is, even though they have gone after other gods, this is what he says, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine, God says, I know what they're doing. I know that they're worshiping Baal. I know that they're living this sensual, wicked lifestyle. Again, what Gomer was doing was not anything out of the norm of what was already going on in Israel. Everybody was doing it, so what's the big deal? She had broken her vow. She had left her husband and her children. And God says that even though Israel had gone after other gods and were living this pleasure, this sensual, pleasure-filled lives, God says he still loves them. And he said, I'm not done with them. And Hosea, I want you to go after Gomer and I want you to love her. Go, yet love a woman. Beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress. That'd be pretty hard to do. But I want you to notice Hosea's response to the command to go and love her. God says, I want you to go and love her. But it doesn't say that Hosea went and loved her. Look what it says in verse number 2. So I bought her. Can you imagine where she is? How far down this road she has gone? That when God says to Hosea, I want you to love her, he doesn't just say, okay, God, I love her. No, he says, so I bought her. I bought her. That is love in action. That is not an emotional feeling. That is a choice. God, you're telling me to love her, so I will love her. And here is the proof of my love. Even though she has sold herself in this life of prostitution and adultery, I will find her and I will buy her back. So I bought her. That is love in action. That is love, as 1 Corinthians 13 tells us, that bears all things. You want a graphic picture of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that charity suffereth long and charity is kind and envieth not and in all of this? It's right here in Hosea. Long-suffering, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. So I bought her. I bought her. Hosea goes, and where does he find her? He finds her with another and buys her back. Whether he buys her back from the temple prostitutes, it's not exactly clear where he's buying her from. There was a lot of the temple prostitution that was going on during this time, which again is like, this is just a normal thing. Why is this so wrong? But whether he's buying her back from the temple prostitutes, whether he buys her from a man that's just using her to make money, or what we would call today a pimp, just having these women that he's using to make money off of, if men are looking for sexual pleasure, and this guy is just using her, or whether he simply buys her back from a man that she's just living with. He sought her out, knowing the lifestyle that she's living. He sought her out, found her in all of the filth that she was involved in, paid his own money, paid his own possessions to buy her back. Would you hold your place here? And turn with me to 1 Peter. in 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse number 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Friend, do you see tonight? You and I were Gomer. You and I were the ones that forsook God. And we were the ones living in a lifestyle of debauchery and adultery. And God chose to love us. When we were unlovable, God said, I still love you. I choose to love you. And I will pay the price that needs to be paid to buy you back. And he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, so that we could be with him again. I hope that whenever we read that verse again, when we think of this verse, that it will mean a little bit more to us when we think about what Hosea and Gomer went through. That he had to go and find her in the filth and debauchery wherever she was at. Whether she was in the temple prostitutes, whether she was in the slave market, wherever she was. So I bought her. And he paid the price for her. Just as Jesus Christ paid the price for you and me. Because his love is so great for us. That even though we were unlovable, we had nothing to offer him, he chose to love us again. Go yet again. Love a woman beloved of her friend. An adulteress, Hosea. God, you really expect me to do that? Take your own money and buy her back. God, you really expect me to do that? After all that she's done? Yes. God, how could you ask me to do that? Because I have done it. Because that's what he did for you and me. A woman, beloved of her friend, loved of the world, in adultery, spiritual adultery, far from God. And yet, God loved us with the precious blood of Christ. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot, that's how we were redeemed. Look what he says in Exodus, or back in Hosea. He says, so I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, for an homer of barley and a half homer of barley. So 1.5 omers of barley, 15 pieces of silver and 1.5 omers of barley. You say, what is that value? Well, let's go back to Exodus and look. Look at something here in Exodus. In Exodus chapter 21, in Exodus chapter 21, as God is giving some instruction under the law to Moses, in verse number 32, he says, if the ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant, in other words, if there's an ox that kills a manservant or a maidservant, watch what he says, he shall give unto their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. So think about what he's saying here. If there was an animal that was owned by someone and that animal got loose or something and that animal killed someone's servant, someone that worked for them, then the owner of the animal was to pay 30 shekels of silver. That was what you would say, that was kind of the price of a servant, someone that's working for you. There'd be 30 shekels of silver. Now watch this. I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver. Her price wasn't even worth the price of a servant. She had no value. her life had been lived in such a wicked lifestyle. She had no value. She was almost worthless. Not even the price of what would be paid for a normal servant. What must she have been doing that her value is so cheap, so little? Not even the price of a servant. People think sin is fun. People think it looks attractive. Man, look how the world lives. It just looks fun. It looks so exciting. There's so much pleasure involved. Everybody's happy. But they never see the destruction that it brings. They never see the broken hearts that are caused by it. They never see that the world takes everything from you and leaves you with nothing. She's not even worth the price of a servant. Just 15 pieces of silver. But Hosea says, she's worth it to me. She's worth it to me. And he pays the price for her. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver. For an omer of barley and half an omer of barley. I want you to think about this. Go back up to verse number 1. He says, then said the Lord unto me, go yet love a woman beloved of her friend. Now again, the world says, hey, we want you. We want to have fun. We want to enjoy life together. You think about the prodigal son, man, he got his father's inheritance and he went off to a far country and for a while he was having fun. For a while he was enjoying life until his money ran out. Once his money ran out, what did the world say? You're worthless to us. He couldn't even get any of them to give him a job. In fact, he finally ended up having to go and work as a man that was slopping the food for pigs. Love a woman beloved of her friend. Notice that phrase, beloved of her friend or beloved of her lover. Now think about this. What kind of friend breaks up a marriage and a home? What kind of friend is that? Hey, you don't need to be faithful to your husband. You don't need to be faithful to your wife. We're gonna have fun. We care about you. You're our friend. Let me tell you something. A friend isn't going to be breaking up people's homes and marriages and families. He said this was one that was supposed to be her friend. This was supposed to be her lover. This was the one that's supposed to care for her. But he didn't care whether her family was destroyed. He didn't care whether her husband was heartbroken. He didn't care whether her children didn't know who their father was, where their mother was, what lifestyle she was living. He didn't care. What kind of a friend is willing to sell you for their own profit? What kind of a friend is that? It's willing to sell you and just so that they can make a profit off of you. Not only in the lifestyle that she was living, whether he was a pimp or whether they were working, whether she was working in the temple prostitutes or whatever, but just making money off of her. But saying, hey, we love you. Man, we're your friend. They cared nothing about her. But yet they had her convinced that they were her friend. They were her lover. What kind of friend would sell you for profit? What kind of friend, when someone comes and offers to buy you What kind of a friend would actually have a price? What kind of a friend is that? What kind of a friend would think that you're so cheap that you aren't even worth what a normal servant would cost? Let me tell you something. That's not a friend. That's not someone that cares about you. But let me tell you something tonight. That is exactly the lie that the devil will tell you and that the world will tell you. We're your friend. We care about you. We're your lover. You don't need the church. You don't need God. You don't need to follow those things that God says. You don't need to go to church. You don't need to read your Bible. You don't need to pray. You need to tell people about Jesus Christ. You don't need any of those things. We are the ones that really care about you. We're the ones that really love you. And they think we're so cheap that we would leave the one who gave himself for us to go follow them who have nothing to offer, but simply take everything from us. They take your joy, they take your life, they take your family, they take it all and leave you with nothing. And yet, there are so many Christians who think that's the way to go. I mean, look at all the fun they're having. Everybody's doing it. That's not a friend. Those people cared nothing about her other than to use her and to make a profit off of her. They didn't care for her. She was nothing. But in verse 3, we actually have a conversation, or really, not really a conversation, but we see what Hosea actually says to Gomer after he has bought her and after he has brought her home. I don't know what... I don't know what that drive home must have been like. The silence. The shame that Gomer must be feeling that Hosea had to buy her out of this place from the lifestyle that she had been living. Maybe she's angry. Maybe she's upset. Maybe she didn't want to leave, but because he bought her, she didn't have a choice. We're not really told how the trip home went. But notice what Hosea says. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. And thou shalt not be for another man, so will I also be for thee. Hosea takes her back. He still loves her. He's made that choice to love her, even through all of this wickedness, this adulterous, sensual lifestyle that she has chosen to live. He still makes that choice, as God told him to love her. But as he takes her back, he says, thou shalt abide for me many days. There's some rules that Hosea lays down. This is how it's going to be. I love you, and I've bought you back, and I've brought you back home, but this is how it's going to be. He says, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot and shalt not be for another man. It's apparent that as he says, thou shalt abide for me many days. Notice he did not say, thou shalt abide with me. He says, thou shalt abide for me. Even though he takes her back and he still loves her, it is apparent that he does not immediately become intimate with her, as a husband and wife would be. He says, no, there's going to be a trial period. There's going to be a testing time here. Things weren't going to just go back the way they were before all of this happened. No doubt Hosea is remembering years earlier this wonderful love that he had for her, all the plans and dreams that they had had. Their marriage was going to be great. They were going to have children and raise them to love God and all of the plans that they had made. And they enter into that betrothal period. They enter into that marriage covenant, even though they weren't supposed to have the marriage relationship there yet. There's that betrothal. It's like the engagement period. And then Gomer goes and plays the harlot. God says, go ahead and marry her, though. Hosea marries her, and then even after they have one child, she continues to play this adulterous role, and then the next two children that she has, Hosea doesn't even know if they're even his children because of what she's doing, and then she just completely abandons them, leaves the home, leaves the children, goes out and lives with these other men. Hosea comes, buys her back, brings her back home, and says, look, I still love you, but things aren't going to just go back to the way they were right away. There was going to be a time of testing, a time when she would be without what brought her pleasure. He says, you will not play the harlot. You're not going to go out. You're not going to be for another man. You're going to stay right here. And what brought you pleasure, you're going to have to be without. You're going to be without that. Notice what God is doing here. In verse 4, he says, for the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim. Again, there's this correlation that God is showing us between Hosea and Gomer and God and Israel. And God says, look, I'm going to come after you, and I'm going to bring you back. But there's going to be a time of testing. There's going to be a time when you're going to be without a king, without a prince. All of these things, remember, these were the things that Israel thought this was what they wanted. And I don't want to get too much into this because I know the message that my dad is going to be preaching on Sunday. But remember, and earlier on when God brought them out and they said, hey, we want a king. God said, hey, I'm your king. You don't need a physical king. I'm your king. They said, no, we want a king. Why? So we can be like everybody else. And they started seeking things like everybody else instead of being content with God and what God had provided for them. They wanted a king. They thought that would solve their problems. They wanted princes. They wanted the lineages there. They thought that would solve their problems. They wanted sacrifice. They wanted an image to worship. They wanted the religious rituals and things. They thought all of these things would solve their problems. All of these things would be what brought them peace and pleasure. And God says, you're going to be many days without these things. These things that you think you need, you're going to find out you don't need them. And you're going to be many days without them. You're not going to have them because they're going to be a time of testing. Without all of the things that brought them pleasure. In fact, if you'll notice, even when we go through the New Testament and we go even through today, you'll know that Israel is still without a king. They're still in that time that God says, I love you, but you're going to be without these things. Think about it. She rejected her king. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 14, he says, what did they say? We will not have this man to reign over us. When asked if Jesus was their king, they said, no, we don't want him to reign over us. In John chapter 19 and verse number 15, what did they cry out? We have no king but Caesar. all of the time, God is providing for them. Even through their captivity, God says, look, I'm telling you, don't worry. Remember, even there are three times that God really speaks about this captivity. Two of the times, God actually gives them specific times. God had told them that they would be in Egypt for 430 years. God told them that. But after 430 years, they'd be brought out. God told them, you're going to be in captivity for 70 years. The Babylonians and Assyrians, they're going to be in captivity for 70 years. And it was 70 years, and God brought them out. But notice there's not a time put on this one. He just says, many days. You're going to be without these things for many days. I believe the reason why it says many days here is because in that many days is you and I. God is going to bring in the church age. And all throughout the church age, they are without these things. They're without these things. 400 years of silence, and then you have the Christ coming and them rejecting Christ as their king. They said, no, we don't want you. And so now these many days, they're without a king. They're without all of these things that they thought would bring them pleasure and happiness. But watch verse number 5. Afterward. After what? After those many days. You see, Hosea told Gomer, look, you've lived this lifestyle of adultery. And I've bought you back from that lifestyle. And there is going to be a day. There is going to be a day when we will actually be together again as husband and wife. But there's going to be a time of testing first. There's going to be a time of testing where you are not playing the harlot. You're not going out with other men. You are staying right here. And there's going to be a time of testing. But then afterward, there will come a day. And I believe that's that love that Hosea is showing to Gomer. It's not just going to be that you're here and I'm going to lock you in a room and you're never going to be up. No, that love is continually shown to Gomer throughout this whole time period. Those many days, he's showing her that love, proving to her that he is the one that loves her and not these others. You say, how do you know that? Because I think we see it in verse 5. He said, afterward, again, God speaking about Israel and himself, afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. God says, just as one day that Israel is going to return to God, their love is going to be back and they're going to recognize and realize that it was God that had done all of these things. It was God that loved them. I believe Hosea is saying the same thing to Gomer. There's going to be a day when you're going to recognize that I truly am the one that loves you. And that all of these things that you've done in the past, yes, we cannot undo them, but they're forgiven. I took care of you. I loved you. I bought you. And one day, we're going to be able to be as husband and wife again. One day, that beautiful dream that we had in the very beginning, one day that beautiful dream will come again. But it's not just going to happen like that. God says that same thing afterward. After those many days shall the children of Israel return. And that's a key word there, afterward. There's that hope. God says it won't stay like this forever. Just like Hosea said that Gomer would be for him and he would be for her. It would take some time though. God says afterward Israel will return and seek the Lord their God. Afterward they will see their Messiah, the King, and they will fear the Lord and see his goodness in the latter days. This is what we just read over in chapter 1 in verse number 11. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. God says, it's not going to stay like this forever. But because of what has happened, there's going to be a time of testing. But afterward, that day will come. Afterward. Notice, shall the children of Israel return? There is a repentance. There is a recognizing we have gone astray, and they are going to return. They're going to turn back to God, just as Gomer was going to recognize that what she had done was to break her husband's heart and to destroy her family. She is going to recognize her ways and return and say, I was wrong. Please forgive me. And Hosea is going to say, it's okay. I forgive you. And there's going to come a day when Israel is going to return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. David, the king, referencing the Lord Jesus Christ, the lineage of David, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. The word, the key word is return. The children of Israel will return. The word return is used 22 times in the book of Hosea. When Israel returns to the Lord, then the Lord will return to bless Israel. Notice in Hosea chapter 14, because this is really Hosea's message. In Hosea chapter 14, in verse number 1, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Return. Hosea says, Gomer, would you return? Would you come back? God says, Israel, will you return? Will you come back? God says, one day, Israel will return. Listen to the message. Take with you words and turn to the Lord and say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. Aren't you glad that there was a day when you called out to Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, that he graciously said, I forgive you. When we were unlovable, he loved us. And when we returned and repented, said, God, take away our iniquity. Take away my sin. He graciously received us. Loving the unlovable. It's not just Hosea and Gomer. It's not just God and Israel. It's Jesus Christ and you and me. Father, I thank you. Thank you for sending your son. When we were unlovable, with all of our iniquity and all of our sin, that you received us graciously. You took away our sin. You chose to love us when we were unlovable. God, what else can we say but thank you? Thank you. Lord, may we be faithful to you because of what you have done. May we love you because you have loved us. Lord, may we recognize that the world has nothing to offer us. The world simply wants to use us and take everything from us and leave us worthless. Lord, you were willing to send your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and pay for our sin with his precious blood. Our price was so great, and you were willing to pay it. Thank you. Thank you, God. Lord, may you help